And we're holding on Nun Vav Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. And we started learning yesterday about Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, well, about Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. We had the Tanna Kamma of a Braisa that gave the familiar list of Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Then we had Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel and Rabbi Chidka and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi adding some other ones. And the last thing we said was that there were, and we said we learn the basic seven from a pasuk that Hashem says to Adam, "Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam lemer," and we went through that yesterday. The last thing we said was that there's Tana Dvei Menashe, there's a braisa from the yeshiva of Menashe that instead takes out two of the seven and instead inserts two other ones, two of the ones that some of the other chachamim had said are included on top of the seven. Tana Dvei Menashe takes them and makes them as part of the seven and takes out two others. Dinim and Birkas Hashem. So the Gemara asks, Tana Dvei Menashe, where is he getting this from to say that according to him, the list is five of the seven that the Tana Kamma had said? He Tana Dvei Menashe had said that that the seven would be Avodah Zarah, Gila Arayos, Shfichas Damim, Gezel, Eivam, and Achai. Those five are the same as on the regular list. And then Sirus and Kilayim. So he takes out Dinim and Birkas Hashem and substitutes those two. So the question is, E Dorish Vayitzav, if he's darshaning from the Pasuk Vayitzav that we talked about yesterday, Afilo HaNachnami, then it should include Birkas Hashem, which should include Birkas Hashem and Dinim, which we said Birkas Hashem we learned from the word Hashem in the Pasuk. Dinim we learned either from Vayitzav or Elikim, according to the different opinions. So how could he be leaving those out? Eloi Dorish Vayitzav, and if he doesn't darshan the word, if he doesn't darshan from the Pasuk Vayitzav, Hani Manole, then where does he get the other ones? Where does he get any of them? What's his basis for his list of seven? Maharsha says, you could have maybe argued that maybe he doesn't darshan from Vayitzav Hashem, but he darshans the rest of the pasuk. But the Gemara is not assuming the Gemara is not assuming that. And besides that, that still wouldn't give us a source for the Isurim of Sirus and Kilayim that Tana Dvei Menashe includes as part of the list. The answer is La'olam lo'dorish Vayitzav. In fact, the answer is that Tana Dvei Menashe is taken not darshining from that pasuk Vayitzav, but he would say Hani kochod v'chod ba'apei nafshi k'siva. He says, fine, you don't have one single pasuk from which you darshin all of them, but rather, if we look at his list of seven, we can find each one of them is listed individually someplace about some as something that Bnei Noach are not allowed to do. So let's go through Avodah Zarah v'Gilui Arayos. So he would say, where do we see that Bnei Noach are also in Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos? Tichtiv, because the pasuk says before the Mabul, Vatishoches ha'oretz lifnei ha'elokim, the land was corrupted before Hashem. Now the point is that we're going to say that if we find that in each of these cases, if or in many of these cases, if we find that there's a punishment for violating a certain mitzvah, then we have to understand that there must have been it must have been also for them to do it. There may not be something explicitly in a pasuk that says do not do this, but we're given to understand that if they're being punished for doing this, then it means that they're also to do it. We had something similar yesterday. Actually, we had something similar on the Nvav Amud Beis where Rabbi Yossi had pointed out that you have in the whole list of the various kinds of kishuf, or the kishuf narrowly itself, and Ma'onen and Menachesh and Dorish Alameisim and so forth, and then the pasuk says because of these things, Hashem is removing the seven nations of Canaan from their land and giving you their land instead, and therefore we have to understand, says Rabbi Yossi, that it must be also to them, otherwise they can't be punished for it. So here, Tana Dvei Menashe is going on along similar lines. So it says Vatishoches ha'aretz lifnei ha'elokim, and therefore the Mabul came. So what does Vatishoches mean? V'tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. Kol mokum shenema hashchosa, whenever in the Torah it speaks about hashchosa, about corruption, eina ela dvar erva v'avodis kechavim, then it means things that involving arayas and involving avodah zarah. Dvar erva, and we see that they were in fact doing these things. Dvar erva. The pasuk says all flesh had corrupted their way, which means, in other words, that they were doing. So first of all, Rashi explains the word darkoi has to do with tashmish, as we find a pasuk in Mishlei that speaks of derech gever ba'alma, the way of a man with a young lady, which means arayas, which means nus. And also at the end of Parashas Bereishis, you have over there where it talks about the Bnei Ha'likim seeing Bnei Sa'odam and taking whoever they wanted. Rashi mentions on the Psukim over there that it means when a woman was going to get married, then they would come and take her by force, and it included Zchur and Behema and all of that. So we see that the Hishchis Kol Basar means that they were committing various kinds of arayas. We find Moshe tells the Jewish people, you might become corrupt and you're going to make for yourself statues and start worshipping them. So we see that Hishchis has to do with Avodah Zarah as well. So the people of the Dor HaMabul were guilty of those two Averas, and therefore, says Tana Dvei Menashe, that itself gives a source that they're also in these things in the first place, because otherwise they couldn't be punished for it. The Idach. So, what is it? What are the other Tanoim who disagree with that say? They say, Ochayu de Kamagli. The Torah is telling us what the Dor HaMabul was doing, so that we know what they were punished for. But not necessarily does this mean that from those psukim we actually learn the very fact that they're also in these things. So they, instead of learning from those psukim, they're going to learn from the pasuk Vayitzav. Yes, they're also in those two things, but not because we see that the Dor HaMabul was doing them. That's just the Torah is narrating for us what in fact they were doing. And why they were deserving of punishment, but not that we learn any. Not that we learn from there which mitzvahs they're chayiv in. The next one on Tana Dvei Menashe's list was Shvichus Damim. So he would say again, since he's not learning from the pasuk Vayitzav, he has to have a different source from it. Dichtiv, because the pasuk says Hashem says to Noach after the Mabul, Shofech Dama Odom. Anybody who spills man's blood, Vegomer, is going to be punished. So we see that Shvichus Damim is also to Bnei Noach. The Idach. What about all the other chachamim who don't learn from that pasuk? They say again, katlayo hu dekamagli. Here, the Torah just needs to tell us what kind of missa they're getting. As we learned yesterday, that whenever a ben noyach gets missa, according to most of the tanoim. Now, in fact, we're going to say later on Omid Beis that Tana Dvei Menashe disagrees with this point as well. But all the other chachamim hold that whenever a ben noyach is chayiv missa, it's always saif, and they learn that from these words: shofech dama adam. Anybody who spills man's blood, ba adam. Dama Yishofech, his blood is spilled through man, meaning shvichus, meaning hereg, which involves literally spilling his blood. So therefore, we learn that from the pasuk, not that we're learning from it the very fact that they're also in murder. Tana Dvei Menashe, we're going to talk about on Omid Beis. He himself holds anyway that Bnei Noach get chenek rather than saif. Okay. Next, Gezel, the next one on Tana Dvei Menashe's list, which in this he agrees with all the other Chachamim, is that Bnei Noach are also in Gezel. So again, since he's not learning from Vayitzav, where is he getting it from? Dichtiv, because also in Hashem's instructions to Noach, Ki yerek esev nosati lachem eskol. Hashem says to them, like the grasses and the herbs of the field, I have given you everything. So meaning, in other words, we have to understand that So Kiyarek Asev V'Omer Rab Levi Kiyarek Asev V'Loi Kiyarek Gina. So Rab Levi clarifies what it means is they're allowed to eat anything which is like the grass that grows freely, where there's no where nobody put it into any where it's hefker, nobody put any effort into plowing or planting it, etc. But the implication is Kiyarek Asev V'Loi Kiyarek Gina, not like vegetables in a garden where somebody actually worked on cultivating them. That the pasuk is implying you're not allowed to take. Why not? Because that would be stealing. So we see that Gezel is also to Bnei Noach. The Idach, what are the other Chacham answer to that? They say, Ahu l'mishri bosa hu da'asa. That pasuk is coming to tell us that for the first time, Noach and his family are able to eat meat. Now, we touched on this yesterday, that we're going to talk about later on the Testament days, Adam HaRishon was not allowed to eat meat. We discussed yesterday, does that include what if an animal died by itself? But in any case, they certainly weren't allowed to kill animals for their meat. So now Hashem had to begin with told Adam and Chava when he first created them at the end of Perak Aleph in Bereshis, Hine nasati lochem, it's called Esav Zerei Azara. I've given you all the herbs and all the everything that grows from the ground that you can eat freely of them. So now in Noach's times, Hashem is telling him, you know, the same way as everybody had a heter until now to eat Kiyarek Esav, to eat like the grasses of the field, now you also have permission to eat meat, including to kill animals for the purpose. And then Eva Menachai, on the other hand, you're not allowed to eat Eva Menachai from such animals. So therefore, so that's why the pasuk is comparing, just like the Yerek Esev that until now was mutter to you, now also animal meat is going to be mutter to you as well. But according to the Chachamim, we're not learning from that the issue of Gezel. In other words, instead of the implication, in other words, Rashi explains, instead of the implication of ki yerek esev, meaning not like yerek dina, the implication is just ki yerek esev, which was mutter to you until now, now also meat will be mutter to you as well. So therefore, according to them, you can't learn from here, and instead they're learning from the pasuk vayitzav. Next. The next one that's also to them is Eivim Menachai, Dichtiv, because Hashem tells Noach, Ach Boser Benafshe Domer Lo Seichelu. However, flesh, when it's blood, and when its life is still in its blood, then you're not allowed to eat it, which means Eivim Menachai, when the limb is still living and you just pulled it off the animal. So he learns Eivim Menachai from there. The Idach, what are the other Chacham answer to that? Hahu l'mishri shrotzim hu da'asa. That comes to include that the Bnei Noach are also allowed to eat shrotzim. And they are, in fact, they'd even be allowed to eat Eiv Menachai of shrotzim. So we Jews are not allowed to eat shrotzim in general, let alone Eiv Menachai from them. But the point is, Rashi explains that, again, later on in the Sugya, on Nun Tesamud Beis, we're going to talk about that this Pasuk is implying that there's a difference between animals and shrotzim. In Torah terminology, now shrotzim, we often translate shrotzim as bugs, but really it doesn't. Shrotzim, Rashi defines in a few places, it means any animals that move around in a way where you can't clearly see them walking. So it includes creatures that are legless, like worms and things and snakes and things like that. It also includes creatures that have very small legs that you can barely see when they're running around, like mice, for example. So we have the Shemona Shrotzim, for example, are not insects, they're various kinds. Some of them are mammals, like mice. Some of them are amphibians, like toads, and certain kinds of lizards, whatever. The point is, they're all under the general term shrotzim. Goyim are allowed to eat them. And in halacha, for us Jews, there's a difference in halacha between shrotzim and other types of animals in terms of the tumah of the flesh versus of the blood, whereby shrotzim, you don't have that distinction. So therefore, the pasuk is hinting at that any creature where in halacha the blood is not considered something separate from the flesh, namely shrotzim, then the pasuk is saying bnei noach are allowed to eat. So therefore, according to the Chachamim, that's what we're learning from the words benafshe domei lo sechelu, that what kind of blood are they also to eat? Only the kind that comes from animals where in halacha the blood and the flesh are considered to have different statuses in halacha. So therefore, according to the Chachamim, we're not learning from it anything about Eivim and Achai. We're learning a different din about that they're allowed to eat shrotzim. All right. Sirus. Now we come to the two that Tonad Ve'Menashe learns that are on his list of seven, which the Chachamim did not, which we said before, we had different other Tanoim who included them. But in any case, where is he getting Sirus? Dichtiv. Again, from Hashem's instructions to Noach, because Hashem tells him, Shutzu va'aretz uruvuva. Swarm in the land and multiply in it. So therefore, that implies, in other words, that you have to be able to multiply. So you're not allowed to castrate or sterilize any person or animal where that would prevent that from happening. The Idach, what do the other Chachamim say to that? They say the bracha ba'alma. That's telling us Hashem is giving them a bracha that they should be fruitful and multiply, not necessarily an isser against preventing that from happening. Okay, Kilayim, and the seventh one on Tonad Ve'Menashe's list is that they're not allowed to do Kilayim. Now, even according to the opinions that they're also in Kilayim, it's not all kinds. We talked about yesterday, Rabbi Lazar says that it would be only that they're not allowed to crossbreed animals and they're not allowed to cross graft trees. Whether Tonad Ve'Menashe agrees with that particular definition or not, the Gemara is not saying, but in any case, they're not necessarily chayev in all the different kinds of kilayim that we Jews are, but in any case, where does he get that from? Dichtiv mea oif l'minehu, in the instructions before taking the animals into the teva, Hashem tells Noach, from the birds according to their kind, so and then the animals according to their kind, so it has to dafka be according to their kind, and not cross, and not cross mixed and cross breeding, whatever. Hashem tells him to take in Rashi explains a zocher and an akeva from each species rather than mixing species. So we see that you're not allowed to do that. What are the Chachamim answer to that? They say, "Ahu l'tzav sab'alma." That just means, in other words, you want each animal should have company of its own kind. It's not an isu kilayim. Just they're only spending a year in the teva, so they'd like to be with another member of their own kind, but not necessarily that noyach would have been also to cross breed them if he had wanted to. Mind you, before the Mabul, it says that even the animals were mating with their own kind, and only the kinds that went into the teva are only the kinds that didn't. So there's no question that the Eibishter created the world in a way that there shouldn't be kilayim over and over. Even in the description of Maase Bereishis, it says of several times the words l'minoy and l'minehu and whatever. The question is whether Bnei Noach are actually outright also to tamper with that. According to Tanan Vemenashe, yes, and according to and according to we learned yesterday also. According to Rabbi Lozer, also according to Rabbi Lozer, also, but according to the other Chachamim, not. Okay. In any case, the point is, so we see from all of that that Tonad Ve'Menashe is not getting his list of seven from the Pasuk Vayitzav Hashem Elokim like the other Chachamim did. Rather, he's getting it by analyzing various psukim about Adam and about Noach. All right. So now let's talk about the misas. Now let's talk about the misa that Vnei Noach are chayav for being over on their mitzvahs. Which ones? Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amri Bei Rav. They said in the yeshiva. They said in the yeshiva of Rav. Earlier in the Masechta, we learned that generally when it says Amri Bei Rav, it would mean either first the Gemara had said it meant Rav Huna, but then the Gemara had changed that and said that it means Rav Hamnuna. He also, Rav Huna, is going to go and argue with it further on. So therefore, it has to be that it means Rav Hamnuna, or that it means Rav Hamnuna. Anyway, he says, "Al sholosh mitzvahs ben noyach nerag." Three out of the seven mitzvahs, ben noyach would be executed for violating them. And the Gemara says, "Gesher simen." The simen for them is the word "gesher," which stands for al gilui arayos, val shvichus damim, val birkas Hashem. So only those three, but the other four, the Amri Bei Rav are saying he would not be chayav misa. But the Gemara says maskev for Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes questions that. B'shlema shvichos damim. I understand where we know that a ben noyach is killed for. So even though, in other words, he definitely agrees they're commanded in seven of them, but nevertheless, as the Gemara is going to work out that they're only executed for three of them. Rav Sheshes asks, "B'shlema shvichus damim, dichtiv shvich dama adam." Because the pasuk says, "One who spills man's blood, then by man his blood will be spilled," meaning that he's chayav misa. Ela hanach menolahu. But Rav Sheshes asks, "Where is Amri Bei Rav getting the rest of them? E gomam shvichus damim. If you're going to do a binyan av from shvichus damim and say just like that's one of their seven mitzvahs and they're executed for violating it, then we should apply the same thing to the other ones. Well, then in that case, afilu kulanami. Then it should apply to all of them by a binyan av. E mishum de israbai ish ish. If you're going to say because it says ish ish by if you're going to say because by Gilui Arayos and by Birkas Hashem by both of them it says the words ish ish by Arayos you have ish ish or Kol She'er B'soroi and by Birkas Hashem you have ish ish ki Yikalal Olekov, which as we learned yesterday includes that Goyim are also Chayev for cursing Hashem. Well, in that case asks Rav Sheshes Avodis Kachovim Nami. Well, in that case you would have to include. You would have to include Avodah Zorah as well. Israbi would also be you'd also be Marbe because Israbi Ishish. You also have the same ribui from Ishish because of Avodah Zorah as well. It talks about the Ishish. It says any person who gives over of their children to Moloch. So it's true we talked about before, and we're going to talk about later on in the parak. Not everybody agrees that Moloch is a type of Avodah Zorah, but apparently Rav Sheshes is taking the view that it is. So therefore, we should have four mitzvahs that Bnei Noach are executed for. Elo, Amar Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes is fine. Amri Bei Rav al arba mitzvahs ben Noach nerag. There would, in fact, be four, the four that Amri Bei Rav mentioned, Gilei Arayos, Shfichus Domim, Birkas Hashem, as well as Avodah Zarah. Okay. Now we did talk about yesterday there were different opinions about what the words ish come to say. We learned yesterday we have ki ish ish ki yikaru lekov birkas Hashem, where a mayor had used that to say that it means that a goy would be chayav for birkas Hashem also if he uses kinuyim, also if he uses nicknames or alternate names for Hashem. So then in that case he can use ish ish for this as well. According to Marsha points out, according to the Chachamim that we talked about yesterday, they don't hold that a goy is chayev for cursing Hashem using kinuyim, and they use. And eventually, we said that according to them, ish ish is dibur Torah kaloshem me'adam. Then this wouldn't necessarily follow that from that we learn that they're chayev misa for these things. So the question is, va'avodes kachovim ben noyach nereg. The question is, va'al avodes kachovim ben noyach nereg. You're telling me that the ben noyach is executed for doing avodah zarah. V'hatanya, we learn in a which Rav Sheshes had just added to the list. V'hatanya, we learn in a brayse as we learned yesterday. Ba'avodes kachovim, when it comes to avodah zarah, the rule is dvorim shebeistin sho yisrael missin alehen, any kind of thing for which a Jewish beistin would execute a yid who was over on, namely what you have is, so you have the following things, as we're going to learn later on in the parak. You have for each individual avodah zarah, the particular type of avodah that's done for it. For example, going to the bathroom in front of Pa'ur or throwing stones at Merkulis. For any avodah zarah, four basic things that are done in honor of Hashem, and Lahavdo, you're not allowed to do them in honor of avodah zarah, bowing and bringing a korban and so forth. We'll talk about them later on in the parak. And then you also have declaring that it's his God. So those are the kinds of things that a person would be chayav misa for in a Jewish bastion. So those kinds of things, says the Baraisa, ben noyach muzhar aleihen, that a ben noyach is warned not to do them. Now, as hora ein misaloy, it implies that he's only warned not to do them. He's told don't do them, but it sounds like he's not chayav misa. So what are you telling me, Rav Sheshes, that a ben noyach would be executed for avodah zarah? And the answer is Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchok Azhora Shalahen Zuhi Misosam. When it comes to Bnei Noach, what we're saying is the very fact that they're warned, that itself makes them chayav misa for it. In other words, whenever we say by Bnei Noach they're warned not to do such and such, automatically it means they're chayav misa, and then they're chayav misa if they violate it. When the Tana doesn't have to specifically mention Misa versus Azhara, the understanding is that anything that it says Azhara mean whenever it says Azhara means that they're automatically going to be executed for it. So by Yisrael, by Jews, the Tana will take the trouble to mention these are a lav versus these are just a lav. These are chiyuv Misa, but by Bnei Noach it's not going to draw that distinction. So the Gemara, so far we have, according to Amri Beirav, then we're saying there are three cases where they get Mrs. based in, according to Rav Sheshes' modified understanding of Amri Beirav, it would be four. On the other hand, Rav Huna for Rav Yehuda of Akula Talmidim of Rav Amri. On the other hand, Rav Yehuna and Rav Yehuda and all the other Talmidim of Rav said that no, al sheva mitzvahs ben noyach nerag. For all seven of the sheva mitzvahs ben noyach, a ben noyach would be executed if he violates them. How do we know that? Because basically, a binyanav gali rachmona b'choda. The Torah said by one of them that he's executed for it. Shvichus damim as shofich dama adam ba'adam dama yishofich v'hu adin l'kulu, and therefore it applies across the board to all of them. And that's the halacha that Amman paskins that way, that they are in fact punishable by Misa for any of the seven. Now, we talked about yesterday, there may be various other things in which Bnei Noach are chayev. We talked yesterday about davening, we talked about tzedakah, we talked about etc. Those, the point is, they're not listed in the seven because they wouldn't be chayev misa for those. A Ben Noach fails to give tzedakah, he fails to daven, or according to the opinions that he's not also in Sidrus and Kilayim, he does one of those things and he's not chayev misa for it. So now the question is, Vala Gezel ben Noach Nereg. So you're telling me, according to Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda and the rest of these Talmudim of Rav, that a ben Noach can be executed for Gezel, for stealing. Valtanya, we learn in a Braisa. Ala Gezel, what does this mean? What does this mean when we say that he's chayev for Gezel? That means Gonav v'gozal, whether he did Gneva or whether he did Gzela, whereas we know the distinction is Gneva is done in secret and Gzela is done openly by grabbing away from the other person. The same way, the same way if he takes it, the same way if he takes a yufas toyar. So a ben noyach is so a ben noyach is going to war, and one bnei noyach are going to war, and one of them takes a yufas toyar, and one of them grabs it, and one of them takes a yufas toyar. Then that would be also to him. For a Jew, it's mutter. It's in parshas kiseitze, but for a goy, it would be gezel because he's taking somebody else's wife. Other kinds of things like that that are similar to gezel but not actually gezel, as the Gemara is going to define further on what that means. So in all those cases, the Braisa says kusi bekusi. If we're talking about one goy doing it to another goy, and here you have the word kusi is a change by the censor. It's really supposed to be goy or nochri or something like that. So if one goy does that to another, he steals from the other, robs the other, etc., or takes a yifas toya, the kusi b'yisrael, or if a goy does that to a yid, osir, then he would be osir. B'yisrael b'kusi mutter, but a Jew to do these things to a goy would be mutter. Because all of these things, lois sigzel and lois signo, are all referring to reyacha, which means your fellow yid. Now, the Gemara does discuss in Bava Kamma that not everybody agrees to that. There's a whole sugya over there that there's a whole sugya over there that it's that gezel goy is osir. Rashi over here says that it's dirabanan because of matter of chil Hashem. Hagoyes Hagrua wonders about it because what do you mean? It's only midrabanan. It comes out from the Gemara over there according to the opinions that it's also, and that's the halacha. It's actually daraisa, not just dirabanan. So why is Rashi saying over here that it's dirabanan only because of chilul Hashem? And the actual halacha is that gezel goy is in fact osir. There are certain limited cases where you have we learned about it in Bava Kamma, where, for example, where goy makes a mistake in a business transaction, and you tell him to begin with, look, I'm relying on however you however you calculate it, I'm not second guessing your calculations, then you might be able to keep it. Even then, when it's a matter of chilul Hashem, then you have to return it in order to make a kiddush Hashem. So in any case, the point is that here the Braisa is not following that. Here the Braisa is saying that at least on a Daraisa level it would be mutter. So now, the im isa, if you're telling me talmidim of Rab that a ben noyach is executed for gezel, then why is the braisa saying osur? Why is it just saying that he's osur to do it? Nisni chayev, it should say he's chayev, which would mean he's chayev misa. And the answer is mishum de kabbalah misna sefer. The reason why the braisa doesn't use the word chayev because it wants to contrast it in the sefer. Yisrael b'kusi mugs mutter, that a Jew to take such things from a goy would be mutter. So therefore, he uses the word mutter. Tanan reisha osir. So therefore, he uses the word osir in the reisha because osir is the opposite of mutter. In other words, Rashi says if it had said chayev by the ben noyach, then it would have to say the parallel word to chayev is potter, and then it would imply, usually we often say, that potter means aval osir. But here the Tana of the Braisa wants you to know that according to his opinion, at least, it's actually mutter. According to him, gezel goy is mutter. So he has to use the word mutter, and therefore, once he's doing that, then in the first half, and then in the first half, he says osir. But not to say that it's only osir, and they're not chayiv misa. In fact, by a goy to do that to another goy or to a yid, he'd be chayiv misa, whereas according to the Tana of this Braisa, a yid to take from a goy would be mutter. So that Braisa doesn't contradict the Talmidim of Rav, in short. All right, the Gemara asks, "V'ha kol heicha de isle chiyuva misnet katani." What do you mean? The Braisa clearly says, whenever there's a chiyuv misa involved, then the Braisa does use the word chayev de katani reisha, because the reisha of that Braisa says al shvichos damim. What does it mean as far as when we say that a ben noyach is chayev misa is osir and chayev for shvichos damim? Kusi b'kusi, if it was one goy who killed another, v'kusi b'yisrael, or a goy who killed a yid, chayev, then he's chayev misa. Yisrael b'kusi potter. But if a yid kills a nochri, kills a goy, then he's potter. So we see that when we need to say chayev, then it's going to say chayev and potter respectively. So why, when it comes to gezel, if you're telling me that in fact bnei noyach are also in gezel, then it should also say they're chayev, and then the contrast will be potter. Well, the Gemara says Hosam, because in the case of Shfichus Damim, it couldn't have said the Loshon Osir, and then the contrast with Osir would be Mutter. It had to say, because Heichi Lisni, how else could it say it? Lisni Osir Mutter, should it say that that a Goy is Osir to kill another Goy or a Yid, but for the Yisrael it would be Mutter to kill a Goy? That's not so. It's not Mutter. V'hatanya, we learn in a Braisa. Kusi, V'roya Behemadaka, a Goy, or a Yid who pastures small animals, cattle and sheep, where, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, there's often it's often the case that they're thieves, because they go and graze their animals in other people's fields. Earlier in the Masechta, we said, in fact, that for that reason we assume them to be posel la'edus, unless we know they muzzle their animals like Avraham Avinu did. So then those kinds of people. Those kinds of people, loy malin v'loy meridin. We don't bring them up to save their lives, but we also don't lower them down. Meaning, in other words, the example we're using, we're picturing it. Let's say, for example, they fell into a pit. So loy malin would be that we don't save them, we don't pull them out of the pit to save their life. But loy meridin, but we don't push them down into the pit. We can't kill them via dying. We're talking about over here when there's not a state of war between us and them. When there's a state of war with the Goyim, for example, the seven nations of Canaan or Amalek or any nation, when we're at war with them, then that's different. Of course, you know, in war you're allowed to do lots of things that you wouldn't in peacetime. But here we're talking about it's peacetime. This Goy is not doing is going about is innocently going about his business. So you're not allowed to kill him, be a dying. But if he's in danger, then you're not obligated to save him. In practice, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah talks about that further, and the Poskim will talk about it. There is the factor of Eva, after all. So there is, even though in principle what we're saying is so, but nevertheless, there is the factor of Eva that if we show, you know, if it's known publicly that we don't save the lives of Goyim who are in danger, then it's going to cause a tremendous chilul Hashem and tremendous hatred of Goyim to Jews. Not that they don't have enough of already, but anyway. So basically that particular din is not really operative. In practice, you see a Goy in danger, you save his life as well. Maisim b'chol yom, that it's like that. In any case, the point is that we see clearly from that braisa that you're not allowed to kill a goy be a dying. So therefore, so the previous braisa couldn't have said that a goy is also to kill a fellow goy or a yid, but a yid is allowed to kill a goy, because that's not so. He's not allowed to. So therefore, there was no choice but to say that a yid is potter, meaning he's potter from Misa for doing it, but nevertheless, potter implies osir. So once it's saying potter, then it says chayev by meaning chayev Misa by the goy who kills another goy or kills a yid. On the other hand, when it comes to Gezel, given that, according to the Tana of this Braisa, a Yid is allowed Gezel Agoy, then therefore it couldn't have said Potter, because that would imply that it's Osir for him to do. He's just Potter, and therefore instead it uses the word Mutter by the Yid, and the parallel to, and then the contrast with Mutter is Osir, which is why it uses the word Osir, even though in fact, according to the Talmidim of Rav, a Goy would be Chayiv Misa for Gezel. So in other words, in short, what we get from this, from these various brises over here is that when it comes to Shvichus Damim, a Goy is executed for Shvichus Damim. A Yid, is, if he kills a Goy, is potter, but it's still also for him to do. When it comes to Gezel, on the other hand, when it comes to Gezel, a Goy would be Chayav Misa for Gezel, whether of another Goy or whether of a Yid. Meanwhile, a Yid, according to this opinion, would be mutter in Gezel of a Goy. Again, according to Rashi over here, Midrabanan, he would be also because of Chilul Hashem, and on the face of it, the Gemara in Baba Kama seems to be saying it's not just Midrabanan, it's actually Daraisa. All right. Fine. So that covers that. So that Braisa is not a contradiction to the Talmidim of Rav. All right, the Gemara says Kayotzeh the Gezel Maihi. Now, when we said before in the Braisa that ala Gezel, we said that Goyim, that we mentioned Gneva, Gzela, Yifas Toyer, and then we said V'chein Kayotzeh Behen. Then we said and similar kinds of things. So the Gezel Maihi. What else are we adding? Kayotzeh the Gezel Maihi. What else is included in Kayotzeh Boy that we're saying that a Ben Noach would be Chayiv Misa for? Amar Vacha BaYakov Lo Nitzrucha Ela LaPoil BaKerem. Because the words kayotze boy, in this braisa are coming to include when a worker in a vineyard, whereas we learned in Bava Metzia, a worker is supposed to be able to eat from the produce on the job. So here we're talking about then that Ben Noach were not allowed to be doing that. Now, we're the reason why we call it Kayotze Boy is because he's likely to rationalize and think to himself that, listen, you know, it's not really Gezel. I mean, I am, after all, working in the field. I should be able to eat from there. All right, well, the Gemara asks, Poyo Bekerem Amos. Well, when are we talking about? At what point are we talking about him being also to eat? E b'shas gmar melacha. Now, in Bava Metzia, we had a whole sugya about this din, about the worker eating on the job, where the Torah says, Kisalva b'cherem re'echa, you come into another person's vineyard, meaning you're working there, harvesting or whatever, v'alchalta anovim, then you're allowed to eat grapes. And the same thing, the next pasuk continues, you come into somebody else's field, then you can pick stalks of grain and eat them. So if we're, now, one point we learned over there in Bava Metzia is that it has to be that the work is being done. B'shas gmar melacha, for example, it can't be, let's say, that he's just a watchman for the vineyard, or that he's hoeing around the roots of the vines or whatever. Then he's not mutter to eat. We're talking about when he's harvesting the grapes, which is the gmar melacha of those vines. So ibishas gmar melacha. So if we're talking about that he's working on harvesting the grapes or things like that, which is gmar melacha. What do you mean? Heterahu? What do you mean? A yid is perfectly allowed to eat at that point. That's where the Torah gives him a heter to do that. So we shouldn't say now we have a general rule. The Gemara is going to say later, we never find something which is mutter to a yid and also to a guy. So therefore, it should be perfectly mutter for him to do that, to eat from that. We also learn the fact that the pasuk says, "Ve'alkel yecholay sitin," don't put any in your containers, means we're talking about at a time when you're putting into the containers of the balabayas, when you're harvesting the grapes, for example, and at that point is when you're allowed to eat. So if a yid is allowed, we're not going to say that it's also to a goy. So we can't say that that's included in kayotze boy. The ilav v'shas gmar melacha. And if we're talking about when it's not a time of gmar melacha, when a yid would be also to eat, well then gezel malyahu, then it's full fledged gezel. It's not just kayotze boy. At that time, it's true. It's also to the yid. But therefore, there's no way that we could say that the goy would be also, but we can only consider it kayotze boy. It's similar to gezel. It's actual gezel as it would be for a yid in that case. So now, fine. So the Gemara is going to give a different answer. The Tertas Chaim explains. So what would Rabbi Achba Yaakov answer to that? He would say, listen, you know, the fact is, given that he's going to be allowed to eat by Gmar Malacha, then he might rationalize to himself and say that it's mutter to him even before, and therefore we're saying that not. But therefore we can only call it Kayotze Boy. But the Gemara doesn't seem to like that answer. The kayotze boy of the earlier braisa means if he steals less than a shava pruta. So that's not considered full-fledged gezel, and nevertheless we would say he's chayiv misa for it. Well, the Gemara says, Yihochi kusi b'Yisrael osir. What do you mean? Then why would a goy be chayiv misa for stealing less than a shava pruta from a yid? Habar mechilahu. Isn't a yid moichel on less than a pruta? So the whole point, why indeed do we say in halacha that in general the threshold for almost anything is a pruta, and in connection with gezel, less than a shava pruta, a person is not chayev to even return, is because a yid is moichalit. So wouldn't he be moichalit as well? So in that case, then why is the goy chayev misa for it? And the answer is nihi de bossa hochi mochel. Sure, he's mochel lay. Sure, he's mochel later on afterwards. Tsar de b'shaite mi leslay. But doesn't he have tsar at that time? The fact is there was gezel, and the goy is also to cause the tsar to, and then the goy is also to cause the tsar to a yid. So therefore, so we can still call it that it is. So it's kayotze boy. Now the fact is that a yid is also to steal less than a pruta from another yid as well. It's just not considered. It's not considered gezel because he's moichel. But the fact is there was gezel involved. So the same way over here. So in other words, by a yid we would say like this: when a person steals a shava pruta or more, he has a mitzvah of a heish v'segzela. A goy, there's no such thing as veheshev esakzela, because once he's over on one of his mitzvahs, then as we're saying, he's chayev misa. So therefore, so for him, there's no difference. The fact is, he did commit gezel. Now, had it been one yid against another, then we would say, look, you committed gezel because it was, but it was less than a shava pruta, and the other guy. So in other words, like this, we would say with a yid, we would give the logic would be as follows: you stole from another yid. Therefore, you have a mitzvah to return it. However, and you're mekayim with that, the heishiv is gzela, and then you exempt from any further punishment. However, if it's less than a shavu pruta, then look, the other guy was moichel, the tsar that you caused him in the first place. Therefore, there's no heishiv, and just that's it, you're scot-free. By ben noyach, then the flow would go like this. You stole, therefore, and you being a ben noyach, there's no such thing as making it up with the heishiv is gzela. You're chayim misa. It was less than a pruta. Okay, the guy is moichel. That doesn't make a difference. By mechila or hashava doesn't apply to you, a ben noyach. Therefore you're chayiv misa for it. So that's the point. In other words, because he did cause tsar to the yid, and therefore that so even though the yid is moichel, nevertheless the gezel and the tsar already happened. So that would explain that. That would be why the Ben Noyach is chayev for it. So now the Gemara asks kusi b'kusi. What do you mean kusi b'kusi kayotze behen? Then how are we calling it if one goy steals from another goy? How can we call that kayotze behen? After all, mela by a yid he's moichel, but by the goyim kiven de lav v'nei mechila ninu, they're not moichel even less than a shava pruta gezel mal yehu. So wouldn't it be full fledged gezel? So why is the b'raisa saying kayotze boy and saying that that can apply across the board, a goy stealing from another goy, or a goy stealing from a yid? When he steals from a yid, fine, you can understand that kayotze boy means that he took less than a shava pruta. But by a goy, you don't have that whole concept of mechila in the first place. So therefore, the braisa shouldn't be using the word kayotze boy for that. Okay, again, the Torah Chaim says that Rapapa would end for that and say, because at least it is kayotze boy by a yid, therefore it uses that expression across the board, but the Gemara doesn't really like that. The Gemara doesn't really like that explanation. By the way, there used to be a phrase in Yiddish that would call a miser, a stingy person, they would call him ben noyach. That's based on this Gemara and the continuation of it later on Daf Nun Tes, that says that a goy is not moichel on even that ben noyach is not moichel on even less than a shava pruta. So therefore, they started using the nickname ben noyach for a yid who's stingy like that and won't part even with less than a shava pruta. Okay. Next, the Gemara says, so far we tried the answer that we're talking about a worker working in the vineyard, but we said kayotze boy can't really apply to that. Then we said we're talking about stealing less than a shava pruta, and again the Gemara says then the word kayotze boy wouldn't really fit for that. Ella omer of acha breder of ikka, lo nitzrucha ella l'koivash schar socher. The words kayotze boy in the braisa are referring to where he withholds a worker's wages and doesn't pay him in time. So then, kusi b'kusi v'kusi b'Yisrael osir. So for a goy to do that to another yid, for a goy to do that to another goy, or a goy to do that to a yid would be osir. Yisrael b'kusi mutter, but for a yid to do that to a goy, to withhold his wages, according to this braisa, would be mutter. Would be mutter because he's not actually taking away money from the other person; he's just withholding wages. And therefore, the braisa can call that kayotze boy, because gezel in particular involves grabbing away something from somebody else, and here we're not talking about that because he's failing to give him something that he owes him. And Rashi says, what about Ganav? It's true that Kayotze Boy can't really refer to Ganav. The Gemara is finding a Kayotze Boy, something similar, which is not the outright thing itself, by Gezel and by Yifas Toyar, but the Gemara, it's true, the Gemara is not finding something Kayotze Boy by Gneva. Rashi says, because yeah, the Gemara can't really find such a thing. Something either is Gneva or is not, there's no Kayotze Boy. Okay, fine. Kayotze boy fast toyar maihi. Where do we find by a fast toyar that there should also be a kayotze boy? We said in the braisa earlier that if a goy takes a fast toyar, then he's chayet misa for it. But a yid not. So what's the kayotze boy of your fast toyar? So ki osir Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar Rabbi Lazar, Omar Rabbi Chanina, he said that Rabbi Lazar had said in the name of Rabbi Chanina that he was the kayotz boy of Yifas Toyer. Ben Noach sheyichin shivcha la'avdoi. If Ben Noach has an Eved Knani and he designated a particular shivcha is going to be this is going to be this Eved Knani's wife. Later on, the master has relations with that woman, then he can be executed because of her. This is similar to a Yifas Toyar, so it's not an actual Yifas Toyar. And the Eved himself is not really considered married to her because an Eved doesn't really have the capability of having a marriage. It's really only considered. Rashi says the Eved and the Shifcha would be like livestock of his. They're his property, and it's not considered. Their marriages and their relationships are not really considered relationships in halacha. Nevertheless, still it's Cain, this kind of thing. So now, when it comes to a yid in battle, he's allowed to take a yifas toyar because even though the goyim between themselves, the free goyim, do have marital relationships, but relative to a yid, it's not considered that, which is how a yid is able to take a yifas toyar. So here we're saying, on the other hand, when it comes to a goy with his eved knani, even though by the same logic you would say that the evidence shivcha knanis' marriage is not really considered a marriage, nevertheless the goy would not be able to take this woman for himself, and if he does, he's chayiv misa because he designated her as a spouse for his eved knani. So that's the kayotze bay. Next, kayotzeboi de shvichus domim, loitanya. Now, the Braisa did not say anything about kayotzeboi because shvichus domim. It didn't say, on the face of it, maybe there's no kayotzeboi of shvichus domim. Either he's chayev or potter. Either he's chayev or he's mutter. So, for example, you'd have, let's say, now you have, let's say, when it comes to a Ritzeach, Rashi explains, you can have Bemezid versus Beshoigig. But after all, Beshoigig, he did also kill somebody. The Torah has Rachmanos on him, and he runs away to the Orem Miklip. But we can't really call that Kayotzeboi, because the fact is, it is full-fledged murder. And on the other hand, if we're talking about saving a person by killing the Roidif, who's pursuing him, as we talked about earlier in the Masechta involving Yoyev and Avner, and as we're going to talk about later on at the end of the next parak, we're going to have more dinim on that subject. Well, then it's mutter to kill the roidif under such circumstances. So therefore, on the face of it, we can't find a kayotzeboi by ritzicha. On the other hand, Omar Abaya, imashkachas detanya, if you're going to find any braisa that says the word kayotzeboi by shvichus domim, then you should know Rabbi Yonis and Ben Sholi. You would have to know that such a braisa would be according to Rabbi Yonis and Ben Shol. The Tanya, Rabbi Yonis and Ben Shol, roidif acha chaveru lahorgoi, if one person is chasing somebody else with intent to kill him, v'yochol atzila be'echad me'evarav, and it's possible to save the victim, the would-be victim, by disabling or injuring one of the limbs of the roidif, v'loy hitzil, if he didn't do that, instead he killed the roidif. Actually, this is, we're talking about the nirdef himself. The nirdef himself, the one who's being pursued, if he instead turns and kills the other guy, where he could have instead saved himself by wounding him, nerag olav, then Rabbi Yonasan Ben Shol says, that would-be victim would be executed for doing that, because he could have done otherwise. This was what we learned earlier in the Masechta, the whole argument. At the earlier in our Masechta, we learned that was the whole argument between Yoav and Avner, where Avner had killed Asoil, and he claimed that it was in self-defense, and Yoav had said, wait a minute, you could have wounded him in one of his limbs, my brother Asoil, rather than killing him outright, and therefore Yoav judges that Avner is Chayiv Misa. So here we're saying the same kind of thing. Then Abaya is saying, I don't know of any braisa that uses the word kayotzeboi about shvichus damim, but if there is one, then we could say it reflects this opinion of Rabbi Yonasan Ben Shol, who would say that would be considered a kayotzeboi. It's not, you can say in a sense, it's not actual shvichus damim, or at least it is, but it's not something that a person would think of as shvichus damim, because he would think, listen, I'm being pursued by this other guy, I have every right to save my own life in whatever way I can. But nevertheless, such a hypothetical braisa would be said. And Rabbi Yonasan Ben Shol says that in fact a person is executed for doing such a thing. It is considered that he did shvichus damim. So now again, if a goy does that to another goy, or a goy does that to a yid, he would be chayiv misa. If a yid does that to another yid, says Rabbi Yonasan Ben Shol, he'd also be chayiv misa. But if a yid did that to a goy who was pursuing him, then we would say he's potter. We would say he's potter from misa. The Chachamim, though, disagree. In any case, according to them, there would be no kayotzeboi at all. The Gemara goes on. Ashkach Rabbi Yaakov Ba'acha, Dahav Ksiv V'Sefer Agadta D'Bei Rahab. Rabbi Yaakov Ba'acha found the following written in a Sefer of Agadta from the Beis Medrash of Rav. Now, in those times, they still weren't allowed to write Torah Shebaal Peh for public consumption, but people were allowed to write private notes to keep track of things, so apparently they had such private notes in the yeshiva where they collected together Agadtas into a book. And Rabbi Yaakov Ba'acha found this book. It said in it, Ben Noach Nerag B'dayan Echad U'be'ed Echad. A Ben Noach can be executed based on one Dayan and based on one Eid, meaning you don't need a basin of 23 for a Ben Noach like you do for a Yid, and you don't need two Eidim, and you don't need two Eidim like you do for a Yid. And Shaloi B'Hasra, and he doesn't require Hasra, he's still Chayiv Misa. But mipi'ish v'lo mipi'isha. However, the eidos against him does have to be the eidos and the dayanim who are the eidos against him and the dayanim who are judging him do have to be men, not women. So to that extent, we do apply similar dinim as we do by a yid, where a woman can't serve on a beis din. So by Bnei Noach, we do apply that rule also in the same way as far as Eidos. Vafilu Korov. Now, the Dayan or the Eid would be kosher against the Ben Noach, even if he's a relative. That's what it says in the Sefer Agadz the Beir Rahab. And then Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Omru, Afalo Ubrin, and they said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel also that a Ben Noach is also Chayiv Misa, also for killing unborn babies. For in other words, for abortion, Pashat. So a yid would be potter for such a thing, but a ben noyach according to Rabbi Shmuel would be chayev. Now we learned before, we touched on the rule before, and the Gemara is going to mention it explicitly on Dafnum Test, that there's no such thing where something is mutter for a yid, but also for a ben noyach. So how does that work over here? How are we saying over here that a yid is not chayiv misa for such a thing, but a goy would? So Tosfos elsewhere explains, we're not saying that a yid is mutter to do such a thing. He's also to do it, just he's not chayiv misa for it, because there's always the possibility that this baby might not have made it full term and might not have been born. Whereas by Ben Noach, we don't say that. And the Meiri gives another point as well. The Meiri says it's true that as far as the din of a beis din, they wouldn't be able to execute somebody who committed an abortion on a yid who committed an abortion, but the melech would be allowed to if he finds it necessary. So therefore, it can be considered that a goy would be chayiv misa for it as well. This little piece over here, afal ubrin, gives rise to quite a bit of discussion in halacha about all the various issues involving abortion. Where according to this, it comes out, and then the halacha is in fact like Tanan Rabbi Shmuel in that in fact it is also for goyim. So therefore, there's quite a bit of implication for that in halacha. As far as nowadays, as far as the dinim of a goyish doctor doing an abortion, there are poskim who say that maybe it would be mutter for them if it's to save the mother's life, but not even everybody agrees with that. So the Gemara says Minohani Mili. So we said several things in this Sefer Agadta D'Bei Rav. We said that there can be one Dayan for a Ben Noach, one Eid. There doesn't need Asra. But it does have to be men as Dayanim and the Eidim. The Eidim can be relatives, and also that Rabbi Shmuel is saying that they're Chayev for killing an unborn baby. So Minohani Mili, where do we know all these dinim from? Omer of Yehuda, the Omer Kra. The Pasuk says, again, in Hashem's instructions to Noach, which is where we're learning many of the details of the Sheva Mitzvos from Noach, the Pasuk says, Va'ach as dimchem as va'ach, however, as dimchem l'nafshei seichem, your blood for your lives, Edrosh, I will demand it. Now, Edrosh is in the singular. So in context, we would understand that it means that Hashem is going to demand it. Hashem is going to demand justice. But we learn from that, since it's written in the singular, afilo b'dayan echad. It means even if there's only one dayan, miyad kochaya, when it says from the hand of every chaya. Now, in the simple sense, it means if a chaya kills an animal, then Hashem is going to deal with, Hashem is going to punish that animal for what it did. But it means, we can also learn, miyad kochaya, afilo shaloi b'hasra. It means even without hasra. Then he'd be chayiv misa. For one thing, because an animal is obviously not subject to asra. So there's a few ways of understanding how exactly we learn from miyad kol chaya. So Rashi explains means miyad kol dover chay, from the hand of any living creature. So therefore, so we see there doesn't need to be asra, because regardless, he's still living. So then the Yad Ramah explains that it implies animals, and animals are not subject to Asura, and there are various other explanations. Okay, so therefore, so we learn from that so far we learn one diet and Asura and then not Asura. The pasuk continues, Ed Rishenu Umiyad Ha'odem. The pasuk continues, I will seek it, I will seek punishment for it. And then the pasuk continues, and from the hand of a person, which is again Ed Rishenu Loshen Yachid. From that we learn Afilu Be'ed Echad. So it's enough even if there was one aid. Miyad ish on the other, we should really quote the whole pasuk and then translate it, and then we'll explain how the Gemara is darshaning it. The whole pasuk goes like this: Va'achas dimchem l'nafshi seichem edresh. However, your blood for your lives, I will seek it. I'll seek punishment for it. Miyad kochaya edreshenu, from the hand of every animal, I will demand it. Umiyad ha'odem, and from the hand of a person. Miyad ish achiv, from the hand of his fellow brother man. Edresh as nefesh ha'odem, I will demand the responsibility for the life of a person. So now again, the Gemara is darshaning it phrase by phrase. Achas dimchem nafshisechem edrish. Edrish being in the singular means one dayan. Miyad kochaya means, as you said, shaloi basra. The pasuk continues edrishenu, and then it continues umiyad ha'odem. I will demand it, and from the hand of man. So again, the edrishenu being in the singular means afilu be'ed echad. Even if there was only one aid against him, then also he can be put to death for that. Miyad ish, when the pasuk says from the hand of man, means v'loi miyad isha, not from the hand of woman. So therefore, we learn from that the dayanim and the dayan and the aid can't be women. Ochiv afilu korev, and his brother, means even a relative, would be kosher for Eidos. So that covers all of the dinim that it said in that Agad, in that Sefer Agad to Devei Rab. As far as Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Omru, Afal Obrin, my time did Rabbi Shmuel. Where does Rabbi Shmuel get that from? Dichtiv, because then the next pasuk continues over there. The shofech dama adam, one who spills man's blood, but adam dama yishofech, through man his blood will be spilled. But we can also darshan shofech dam ha adam ba adam, one who spills the blood of man in man. Ezu adam shehu ba adam, where do you have one person inside another person? Heavy em is the ubershu b'me'emay. That means a fetus in the mother's womb. So therefore, Satan and Rabbi Shimon is learning from that phrase shofech dama adam ba adam, that it means that also he's chayiv misa for killing a baby in the womb. Okay. The Tanakhama, what does the Tanakhama answer to that? Who doesn't learn it that way? He says, Tonadve Menashe, the Tanakhama of this Braisa against Rabbi Shmuel would be Tonadve Menashe. De'omar, where he says, Kol misa ha'mur l'vnei noyach eilen eina l'chenek. Unlike what we said before, that when Bnei Noach, a chayiv misa, it's specifically saif, it's specifically hereg, Tonadve Menashe argues with that and says that their punishment is going to be chenek. Therefore, v'shodi le'lahai ba'odem ha'sefer dekra. Therefore, Tanan Ve'menashe says the word ba'odem goes with the rest of the pasuk. The Tzurup, in fact, do it that way as well, because the words shofech dam ha'odem, the word ha'odem, has a zokif katan over there, which is one of the stronger separating Tzurup. So Tanan Ve'menashe is saying that the fact is, that's how you learn it, shofech dam ha'odem is a clause by itself, and then ba'odem dama yishofech. By man, his blood will, within man, his blood will be spilled. So Tanan Rav Menashe would say, so you have to learn the pasuk as follows: But Adam Dama Yishofech, in man, his blood is spilled, meaning he has to be executed in a way where his blood stays within him. Where do you have which of the four misses is based in? It keeps the blood inside the body. That would be chenek. Namely, skila and hereg obviously involve shedding of blood, and as far as chenek, as far as srefa, where he swallows hot lead, they are actually toast for Rosh explains you can't really call that shvichas domim at all, in the sense no blood, at least on the at least that we can tell, is actually being spilled, as opposed to a person is being strangled. Then yeah, blood would be flowing over there, and it's prevented from going through, and the person's face turns red or whatever. So therefore, we can call it shvichas domim, but it stays within him. So therefore. Of course, a ton of Menashe learns from that, from the word ba'odam, that it means that that's the missa for Bnei Noach. Okay. So the Gemara says, Masiv Rav Hamnuna. So now Rav Hamnuna says, so you're telling me then that women can't be judges or edim even for Bnei Noach. But Rav Hamnuna says, V'isha lay mafkada, you're telling me that women are not mitzuva on the concept of dinim, and in other words, one of the Shev Mitzvah of Bnei Noach is dinim, you're telling me that women are in effect potter from that, because they can't be judges and they can't be edim. V'haksiv, we find by Avraham, Hashem says, ki Hashem says, I know him and I appreciate him because he commands his family to do tzedakah mishpat. Now we learned before. We learned earlier in the sugya yesterday that the word yitzaveh and that the word yitzaveh goes together with mishpat, which teaches us therefore that we learned from that that vayitzav refers to dinim. Now since it says as bonaves ves besoy, it says that he teaches. He teaches his children and Besoy, and Besoy means the women. So we're saying that that Avraham is teaching tzedakah u'mishpat to all of his descendants, men and women. So women are on the face of it chayev in dinim as well. So maybe therefore they should be allowed to be judges or to be edim. Now the question is, of course, so what? I mean, we Jews definitely have 613 mitzvahs, and dinim, many details of dinim are included in that, and women are still possible as edim and as dayanim. So the Maharam Shik explains that since the pasuk says v'shomru derech Hashem, they should guard the way of Hashem, then Rav Hamnuna figures that guarding it includes being an aid or a dayan for it. So then in that case, so why shouldn't women be able to? And the answer was hum moisiv lo v'hum mafarek lo. He asked the question, he also gave the answer. Bonav ladin beisay letzdaka. When it says bonav and bnei beisay, and we mentioned tzdaka or mishpat, so it means it's two different things. Bonav, his sons, meaning the men, have a mitzvah of din, meaning as far as judging and as far as being edim and judges. Beisay, the household, which means the women, is letzdaka. They have a mitzvah of tzdaka, but not a mitzvah of din, because in fact their apostle is edim as dayanim. Okay. Maybe we should darshan the words miyad ish from the pasuk in Parashas Noach before. We should darshan it that women are potter for killing b'chlal. Maybe we should say a bas noach who killed should herself not be executed. Miyad ish v'loy miyad ish uksiv. Because after all, the pasuk said miyad ish in the pasuk from Parashas Noach earlier, which we use that to say that it means miloy miyad isha, meaning that a woman can't be a dayan or an aid. Maybe we should also darshan that it means that a woman who killed is not chayav misa. Omalei, so the proper answer is him, hochi omer Rav Yehuda. No, because Rav Yehuda said when it says shofech dama adam mikol makim, because it says anyone who spills man's blood, so therefore so it includes anybody, whether a man or a woman, who commits the spilling of blood. The miyad ish just means that women can't be dayanim or aidim. All right, continues Rav Ibya Sava, Eima Bas Noach Zin Soloi Tehoreg. Maybe we should say that a Bas Noach who commits Znus should not be executed. There you don't have a Pasuk. Because after all, Dichtiv Alken Yaz of Ish, because the Pasuk says, where do we know the whole concept of marriage and family relationships among the Goyim? Is because it says after Chava was created, therefore man leaves his parents and Vidovak Vishta, and he connects with his wife. So we should also say Ish means Veloy Isha, so not a woman. So maybe a woman is not Chayev in that mitzvah, and therefore she shouldn't be executed for violating it. Amalei, so the proper answer is Hochi Amar Rav Yehuda. This is what Rav Yehuda says. Since the pasuk continues, V'hoyu levaser echad, it says they will become one flesh. So therefore, Hodar Avinu Kra. Therefore, it means the pasuk is combining them together. Even though, yes, on the face of it, from the words. Even though on the face of it, from the words, Arkein Yaz of Ish, we would be Mamayat, a woman is not Chayib Misa for that, but when it says, V'hoyu L'Voser Echad, then it means that both of them are equally Chayib in this matter of being Voser Echad and not going and being Mizana with other people outside their marriage. Okay. So let's talk more about this matter of Arayas as far as Bnei Noach. What exactly is included in we said that with one of the Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, according to everybody, is Gili Arayas. So let's discuss what exactly is included in Gili Arayas for Bnei Noach. So turn Rabbanon. Ish, when it says about Arayas, it begins Ish Ish al Kol She'er B'sor, right? It could have said Ish, Ma Tamad Lame Ish Ish. What does it say? The double expression Ish Ish, and then it lists all the Arayas. It comes to include goyim that they're also warned about all the same arayas as Jews. So they want to ask v'homer hocha nafka. What do you mean? We're not learning the isser of arayas for goyim from here. Mehosim nafka. We learn it from the pasuk vayitzav. We learn it from the pasuk vayitzav Hashem lekim, where we had on nunvavam and beis lemer zagili arayas, where we said the word lemer refers to the isserim of gili arayas. So what are we learning from ish ish over here? And the answer is Hosam ba'arayas didhu. That posik from the word lamer, we're learning as far as arayas between goyim themselves. So if a goy were to have relations with an ashes ish of another goy, then he would be chayiv misa for that. We learn from that. We learn that from the lamer. But whereas here we're talking about if a ben noyach has relations with a married Jewish woman, then we need to learn that from the word ish. Dekatani seifa, and we know that because the seifa of this braisa continues. Bo'al arayis Yisrael nidin medina Yisrael. If this ben noyach has relations with any of the women who would be considered an erva among Jews, then he's judged according to the dinim of Jews. So that's what we mean. In other words, there's a difference between where Ben Noach has relations with another man, with another Ben Noach's wife, then we're learning that he's chayav misa from the word lamer. But if he has relations with a Jew's wife, then we're saying that he then we're saying from that we learn from the that we learn from the word ish that he's chayav misa for that. Now, of course, by Ben Noach, you know, so yeah, you don't really have many of the arayas of close relatives don't apply to them, but Eishes Ish does. Okay, the Gemara says Lamai Hilchsa. What does that mean? As far as what halacha do we mean? What do we mean exactly that if he's chayiv misa for an Eishes Ish, then what exactly are we adding that? What exactly are we adding that when he if the Eishes Ish is a Jewish woman, what are we adding to that? He's anyway also an Eishes Ish in the first place. It means that in order for him to be chayav misa, where the woman was Jewish, it would mean you'd need Eda, you'd need a Sanhedrin of 23, the Edim, you would need two Edim v'asra, unlike we just said before, that when it comes to a Ben Noach, we said you only need one Dayan and one aid. But here you're talking about because he had relations with a Bas Yisrael, with a married Jewish woman, then therefore we would need the rules of evidence and the rules of din that are between Jews. The Gemara asked why? Migra Gora? What are you telling me? We're going to be make on him because this woman was Jewish. Therefore, you're going to say that you need 23 and two Edim and so forth. Unlike you're telling me. If it was a goita, then he would only need one dayan and one aid. It comes out you're being more lenient on him. So that doesn't work. No, but what we need to learn from ish is when the ben noach has relations with a naira hamayrosa, a Jewish naira hamayrosa. Now, when it comes to the bnei noach, there's no such thing as a naira hamayrosa among goyim in the first place, as the Gemara is going to talk about soon. By goyim, you don't have the two stages of marriage that we do, where you have kiddushin and then you have nisuin. So the whole concept of Naira Mayrosa doesn't apply to them, and therefore, so the point is, nevertheless, if he did have relations with a Naira Mayrosa, then we judge him according to all rules, and we say in this case, he gets skila. So that we learn, so unlike usually we said before, Ben Noach gets hereg, or according to Tonad Ve'menasha chenek, but here, because the whole concept of Naira Mayrosa doesn't apply to him, and then therefore he would be chayiv misa, and the misa would be like it is with a Jew, he'd be chayiv skila. And we would still say that the rules before that you only need one dayan and one aid. You don't need as we had just tried saying that it would mean that he needs 20. That Reb Nachman had said that you need a base sin of 23 and adim and so forth. We would say that no, and not so. We don't need all of that. One dayan and one aid would be enough. Okay, the Gemara asks, "Aval eishes ish b'dinu didhu dinin lahu." So you're telling me then that if a goy has relations with an eishes ish, with a Jewish eishes ish, b'dinu didhu dinin lahu, you're telling me then that they would be judged with their dinim, meaning, in other words, that then he would be getting saif, like any time when a goy is over on a shev mitzvah nanach. What do you mean? V'hotanya bo'am naira morosa nidin miskila. We say in a brisa that if he has relations with a naira morosa, we get skila. He gets skila. Al-Ashis-ish, nidin mechenek. If he has relations with an Ashis-ish, then he gets chenek. The Ibidina did who? If you're talking about that he's judged according to the rules for Goyim, Saif who? Then he's getting Saif, not chenek. Because we said before that B'nai Noach, when they're over on any of their mitzvahs, get Saif. Now, Tosfos says the Gemara at this point could have answered very simple. This Tan, this Braisa is according to Tan of Vemenasha, who just said before on the Omud that that he's Chayev Chenek in general. But the Gemara gives a different answer. Omud of Nachum Yitzchok, my Eishes Ish to Katani, the Eishes Ish of the Braisa doesn't mean where there was full marriage. They had even gone into the chuppah, but then the Jewish husband had not yet had relations with her, and then the Ben Noach does. So again, Dilididhu, less Lahu. By Goyim, there's no such concept of chuppah. When does a woman become a married woman in the dinim of Bnei Noach is specifically when they first had relations. Now there is the possibility he still might be chayev on the grounds of gezel, but here we're talking about in terms of the chiyuv of arayas, it wouldn't apply yet because they haven't actually had relations. So dinin lahu b'dina didan. In that case, though, we do apply to them our dinim. We still say that look, she was already there was already kiddushin, there was already even chuppah, there just wasn't nisuin yet. So there wasn't relations yet. So at this point, between us Jews, there would be chenek for such a thing. So in this case, we apply that to them also, and we give the ben noyach chenek, the tani Rab Chanina, as in fact Rab Chanina says a braisa. By Goyim, there's a concept of Be'ulas Baal. Once a woman has had relations, then she's considered married in the dinim of Bnei Noach. But when it comes to, there's no such thing as chuppah, even though by us, a woman has already kedushin and already there's been chuppah, she would be considered an Eishes Ish. But by Goyim, there's no such thing until the actual Be'ilah, she's not considered a married woman. So again, if you were to have among Goyim, if they were to have something like that, like a chuppah, and then another Goy were to take this woman and have relations with her, he wouldn't be chayiv misa on grounds of arayas. He might be on grounds of gezel, that's another matter, but he wouldn't be chayiv on the grounds of arayas, because not considered that she's not an eishes ish until she actually had relations. But here we're saying, if the woman is Jewish, then we would say that he's chayiv misa, but then we would apply the rules of, then we would apply the rules of our dinim, which is that he'd be chayiv misa and the misa would be chenek. Okay, so fine. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll continue discussing these dinim about in what cases about a goy is chayiv misa for being over, and in what cases we say does he get the regular misa of Bnei Noach versus in what cases do we apply Jewish dinim and he would be chayiv some other kind of misa.
Yeah.